Excuse me. Brethren, the fall festivals were simply magnificent. Personally speaking, they were without question the best thus far in my life as a Christian. My family and I reunited with old friends that we haven't seen in many years. We met new friends and had times to fellowship and experience their testimonies of God's divine intervention in their lives. We rejoiced with these family members at a place where God had placed His name, for the priceless opportunity to come before Him and learn to love Him, worship Him, delight in Him, and to fear Him. Emphasis on that last statement was to rejoice. We have much to rejoice over. There were times of shared experiences of sorrow with these old friends as well as with the new. And these weren't dwelt on for an extended period of time, but simply shared in the moments of God's presence to assist them during some of their serious of trials and how God had seen them through it. There was a lady there from Moose Jaw, and had 9 children, seven of them, serious health challenges throughout their lives. But she was there, smiling, and she shared with us moments of healing, as many others did there as well. I'd like you to go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. This is a fact. When we have a broken heart, God makes a point in many, many different ways to be as close to us as possible and to draw us to Him and inspire us to be as close with Him as possible during a great trial. Let's go to Psalm 147. Please. Notice verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Brethren, the title to this message is Let the Healing Continue. Let the healing continue. And let's go to a scripture that many of you may have already put to memory. It's in Luke 4. This is a scripture that we're very, very familiar with. This is a moment when Jesus Christ is beginning His ministry. It's been quoted numerous, numerous times over the years. And just emphasis on verse 18. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. One of God's names means the Lord who heals us. Raphael. This word heal in the Greek is primarily to cure or to make whole. Brethren, we have just concluded the 7 festivals and the 7 holy days of the Lord our God. We have come before Him to be healed. in the most important of matters. Because, brethren, perfection requires healing. You know the scripture where Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Become ye therefore perfect as our Father is perfect." That word reflecting upon complete, whole. None of the festivals of God have any meaning at all for the new covenant Christian if we do not understand the presence and purpose of Jesus Christ within each one of them. It is primary we understand that. It is a most beautiful blessing to know and understand and believe that the first four festivals of God are devoted to the creation and perfection of a small group of people to be called the children of God. I appreciate the sermonette deeply. We are given numerous beautiful names. We haven't yet received the name that God is going to give each and every one of us individually, but right now we are referred to as the first fruits, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the children of light, the Israel of God, and there's many others. This is a very dynamic and generous demonstration of God's love and considerate hospitality to include a small group of mankind now to eventually take part in the perfection of the remaining much larger group of mankind that will accept his invitation to salvation during the great white throne judgment. They will be given a choice, just as we've been given a choice. The final three festivals of God are devoted to the direct and necessary steps of intervention by God to bring this large group of children who accept God's invitation to glory. This message is not meant to address the festivals of God that are outlined in the fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God. That's going to be done by another elder later on in the year. But the purpose of this message is to promote the continuation of the healing within the lives of the members of God's church as we continue to serve and seek to be with Him and His Son within His kingdom as His family. Focus upon healing. This is to focus on the cure and the wholeness that is involved in the ministry of Christ. As we read earlier in Luke 4, everything within that is God, Jesus Christ's direct intervention in our lives to enable us to heal. Brethren, it's a rare person that does not want to be healed. Tragically, I have met people that do not want to be healed. It's amazing. They are comfortable in their afflictions. Right now I'm speaking about physical. People that are physically challenged, but they're comfortable in that affliction. Mankind has been seriously ill since the beginning of their existence, and the Church of God has this understanding, and we know it, this vital truth. The Church of God also understands that from the very beginning of the most serious and tragic of choices, the Creator God planned to heal this terminal illness. I'd like you to go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Right after our first parents made that horrible decision, the plan began to ultimately heal us to the point where we will be with God the Father and Jesus Christ for all eternity. Brethren, one of the primary reasons we've been called by God the Father is so that we can be spiritually healed. We as God's children and literally his patients, medical term, his patients, must engage in a cooperative effort to assist in this healing so that we can be prepared to enter into his kingdom. Brethren, Christ's work is not finished and neither is ours. I know probably at every feast site, this scripture was read. Revelation 19. Starting in verse 5. It was read numerous times at the feast in Newfoundland. Unique emphasis upon this scripture. Then a voice came from the throne saying, verse 5, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. Excuse me. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The church has something to do. And each person has something to do. Brethren, the church will be healed. It will be. And she will be characterized by her conduct and righteousness. What can we be doing to assist our Father and his Son, our Savior, in the healing that glorifies them both? I appreciate again the sermonette in making a reference to the physical and the spiritual analogies, the symbolism that lies within there. Hebrews 9 is another example of the tabernacle and the items and the tasks that took place in there on a spiritual plane, very symbolic. The festivals of God are compared and timed with the two grain harvests of the region of Israel during the spring. You remember that the wave sheaf offering was presented by the high priest. This ultimately represented Jesus Christ when he ascended to heaven after his resurrection to present himself as the wave sheaf offering for the Israel of God, the church. Similarly, a comparison can be made with the human body on a physical plane and the Christian body, our stature, who we are, our physiology. These things can also be compared to a spiritual plane. When our human body is suddenly engaged in an injury or an illness, they automatically begin the process of healing. Medical science has recognized that there are four stages of healing within the human body. First stage is the inflammatory state, The second stage is the epithelial stage, epithelialization, tongue twister. The third is the proliferation state, and the fourth is the remodeling state. A healthy person, when they are injured or ill, or they go through, well, controlled injury, which is surgery, the body kicks in to these stages. There's much to be said about each of these, but we're only going to address a few points of them and make the spiritual analogy of what we should be doing as an individual person, but what the body of Christ will be doing also to be healed. The first stage, inflammation, it has five characteristics. There's a skin color change. There is heat associated with it. There is swelling. There is pain. And the most important point that I'm going to focus on today is the loss of function. Actually, inflammation's purpose is to protect the body from infection and to expedite healing. It is the first stage of anything that we engage when we are injured. We know that we can be injured physically as a human being. We can also be injured spiritually. We can be hurt. These characteristics are easily observed with an external injury, but sometimes within the human body, they're not so easy to see. But they're still there nonetheless. The inflammatory stage of healing is necessary because it's been placed in this primary position to alert the body that something is wrong. When something happens to us, it is automatically kicked in. God has made us that way. It's the way we're supposed to live. But one of the most important things about the inflammatory state is that we must not stay there. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous to stay in the inflammatory state. Inflammation, for the most part, lasts about 24 hours. There's certain situations where it can last as long as 2 to 3 weeks. This usually happens with a surgery. But if inflammation is not properly addressed, it can linger for years. And you'll see people that tragically are in very, very serious chronic health conditions because they are in a constant state of inflammation and they can't get out of it. And this is very dangerous because of the loss of function. Brethren, on the spiritual plane, as disciples of Christ, we need to be attentive to anything in our lives that is causing us not to function within His church. Anything that happens to us, if it pulls us out of functioning within this body of Christ, it's a serious red flag. It's a serious red flag. Galatians 6. And it's something we have to pay very, very close attention to. Galatians 6, starting in verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are pure such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things which him who does with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap the flesh, reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will let the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us all do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Service to each other. When we see a brother or a sister struggling in a situation, obviously fulfilling the law of Christ, you shall love each other as God loves us. But you have to be careful with that, don't you? You have to be very careful in how you reach out to help somebody that is stuck in the inflammatory stage and they're losing their function. Brethren, one of the most simple statements about healing that I ever witnessed came from a 97-year-old woman who had fallen, fractured her hip, and had had to be surgically repaired. And she just says, "Boy, you got to move. Boy, you got to move." I was amazed at her. She knew what she had to do to get back into life. We must always be aware that we are moving in the right direction and not withdrawing. Very dangerous. Within the medical community, there's an interesting abbreviation. Whenever you look in someone's notes, it may have patient decided AMA. Against medical advice. People that discharge themselves from medical attention against the advice of everybody. Very, very dangerous. These folks, tragically, I don't have time here, and I very, very private information about folks that just did not trust what was happening to them in people trying to care for them. And the fact that they needed to remain where they were, they discharged themselves from the hospital. And they left. And they were thrown into home health care. Please get in there and try to help them. And I've had people show me the door. I walked into a gentleman's home one time and I was trying to gently guide him. But his eyes changed, his demeanor completely changed. And he said, "You're in my house now, boy. There's the door." If someone doesn't want to be healed, they'll show you the door. If we have a spiritual injury that is causing us to limit or remove our service and function within the body of Christ, then we need to engage activities that will assist us to gently, yet steadily move out of this phase, gently, lovingly. The scripture I'm going to go to now is James 5. Brethren, this is a gift from God. Brethren, God wants to have such a close, personal, intimate relationship with us. Every breath we take, He wants us to reflect to Him, "Thank you." Everything that we engage in life. And do everything within our power to surrender to God and not remove ourselves from situations where we should be. When God tells us to keep His feasts, we should be at each and every one of them all the time, all the feasts. The entire feast. We should be there. James 5, starting in verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." The authority of the ministry, brethren. A trust to the ministry. Now, I know full well that the medical community in this country stinks. Major mistakes in this country. A lot of the doctors have dropped the ball. Their reputation is not good. Now, I hope I say this properly, brethren. Been in the church for over 30 years. And I talk to a lot of people that have been in the church for over 50. Tragically, there are some ministers that have dropped the ball. But that doesn't mean all doctors are bad. All ministers are bad. We can't paint with this broad brush and stuff everybody in this unique little category. But that minister burned me once, that means I'll never go to him again. I'll never trust him again. Tragically, I know that there are little groups distributed about this country that refuse to be associated with any organization because they don't trust the ministry. God is telling us right here, you know, it doesn't say in verse 13 and 14 that call on the elders of the church up until 1970. Continuing on in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Brethren, that statement right there is that whenever we are in a very, very challenging situation within our spiritual life, please find someone that you trust deeply. And it is very, very respectful to your privacy. Very, very respectful to your integrity, your decency. And we'll listen to you. And we'll pray with you and for you. This is the real thing, brethren. This is the Church of the Living God. We are rapidly moving through this day and age. I'm stunned that the fall festivals have come and gone so fast. I mean, walked into the Feast of Trumpets, and now here we are, the Sabbath after the Feast of Tabernacles, in the 8th grade day. It's amazing to me. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he turned. He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Praise God for his tender mercies. We are our brother's keepers. Do anything and everything within your power to not let any inflammatory state reside in your heart and in your mind. God wants us to have such a wonderful and perfect relationship with Him. He wants to help us to heal. There is no such thing as a disease that God cannot heal to a person who wants to be healed. A little bit of homework, John 13 through chapter 17, that intimate relationship, right after the Passover, Jesus Christ's last Passover, that intimate relationship of healing. Share your desire with a personal friend within the Church of God. Tell them, I need to be healed. I got a problem. And I need some help. Please don't share it with anybody else. We have a highest of responsibility to keep that very, very close. Point number 2, epithelialization. You want me to spell it? Do you need it? All right. Here's a mouthful for you. And I know I probably said it horribly. Spoke like a Texan. E-P-I-T-H-E L-I-A-L-I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. Epithelialization. Ah, a little bit better. My tongue got wrapped around my eye teeth and I couldn't see what I was saying. Brethren, this is just a great big fancy word for the creation of a scab over a wound. You know, and it starts building. It's the next stage right after inflammation, and it starts. Anybody that's ever skinned themselves, falling down, skinned a knee, skinned an elbow, skinned a hand, whatever, on a rough surface, cut themselves, they'll start noticing that scab starting to form within the next 1 to 2 days. It is designed to protect the injury from any external source, any infectious agent that might be trying to get in there. The other thing that it is trying to create is to produce a covering over that wound, and underneath it, it is a moist environment that is totally, completely perfect for healing. It's interesting in the medical world. I've been in the medical world for 23 years. And for quite a while, I was involved in wound care. Physical therapists had a whole lot to do in certain hospitals in helping with wound care. The medical world struggles greatly to create a bandage as good as a scab. They struggle to create that environment that enables a wound to heal. God has already programmed into our bodies the ability to heal an external wound. But we need His help in moving through the stages of healing when it comes to the spiritual plane. We've got to have His help. Obviously, there's very serious injuries that require an appropriate bandaging in order to minimize the vulnerability to dangerous organisms. Ultimately, this stage of healing is to protect against infection. I'd like you to go to James 1. Still in the book of James, just go to the first part of the book there, first chapter. In verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Brethren, right there, the two phases of healing. You see, coming out of the inflammatory stage, you're serving the defenseless, the widows, the orphans, the vulnerable. You're engaging yourself in a functional, spiritual, functional, loving activity to take care of the body of Christ. The second thing you're doing is that you are keeping yourself unspotted from the world. The world is infectious, brethren. It will kill you. It will, if you let it in to your life, especially when you have been seriously wounded. You start jumping back into the world because you're angry or because you're mad and somebody got on to you here, or they said something to you, or they engaged something in your life. Ha! I'm out of here. Dangerous, 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 dangerous. That beautiful, simple scripture, restoring function and protecting yourself. This verse summarizes it. The first two, the influence of the great corrupt society. It is large. That's what I mean by great. It is large and it is everywhere. God's called us out of it. It's very dangerous. Go to 2 Corinthians 6, please. Just a very poignant point here about the need for us to Stay clear of the world. Satan is very, very subtle. Yeah, he's created this society, this culture. But he knows what he's doing, brethren. He's good at what he does. Deceiving the brethren. Distracting them. Especially our youth. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. It will pollute you, brethren. And I will receive you. I remember one day a surgeon asked me to observe a surgery, total knee replacement. And his nurse was putting on a gown. She was totally and completely sterile. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you see that card around my waist?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Grab the card." I grabbed the card and she said, "Hold it still." And she started turning. And what it was, with my resistance on it, I was wrapping her up in a special belt to keep her gown shut. And when she came around, I did not have gloves on. I was well away from the surgical site. I felt her hand just barely glance my knuckle. I mean, I looked up at her, and she said, "I just touched you, didn't I?" And I said, "Yeah." Boy, she backed off, took it all off, and started all over. I admired her willingness to do. I mean, she could have picked up the slightest little bug. Even though I'd washed my hands profoundly to go into that room, I wasn't aseptic. So she started all over. She knew that all it took was one bug to get inside that person's knee and have a nightmare. Have a nightmare. Verse 18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Brethren, don't let this world infect you, especially when your heart is hurting. Dwelling with the family of God is one of the most important matters that we must all be involved with. It is a measure of protection. This is protection, brethren. Right here. No, it's not 100% perfect. God is here, though. His name is here. He's dwelling with us. We're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And Satan does not have permission to be here. Hebrews 10. You know the scripture I'm going to go to. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brethren, this is where we belong. It's a permanent home. Be here every Sabbath, every holy day, every feast, every possible chance. Everybody understands we get sick, family emergencies arise, and we can't be here. But if you can be here. Or get online. Get on the telephone hookup. do everything within your power to be here. You need to be here. It's protection. It is protection. The third point of healing, it's called the proliferation stage. You want me to spell that? Proliferation. Okay. P-R-O-L-I-F-E-R-A-T-I-O-N. I like this one little stage because life is right in the middle of the word. Proliferation. This is the stage that begins restoring brand new skin beneath the scab, beneath the bandage. This is also occurs in every manner of the different tissues within the body. Whether we're talking about skin, muscle, bone, nerves, tendons, and ligaments, etc., they all respond in the same manner, but at a different rate. The brain and the nerves heal slower than any other part of the human body. Next are ligaments and cartilage, tendons. Muscles heal pretty fast. Skin even faster. It's referred to as the rebuilding stage. And it is miraculous. The body begins laying down new tissue in place in an amazing matrix. It's called the collagen matrix. And it just starts laying it down. And if you can watch it happen underneath an electron microscope, it's like it's creating a spider web. It's remarkable and beautiful to see. During this phase, it is imperative that functional activity is strongly emphasized. The functional activity is there to help the scar that is being developed underneath that scab. That new skin is also becoming a scar. And that scar has to be able to be moved. It has to move. It has to function. Years ago, brethren, I burned myself horribly. And I took off the top of my hand. And you could see the bones and the tendons. And so, as time went on and time went on and time went on, I started to heal. This crust formed over the... Am I grossing everybody out? I saw some of the girls going, ugh, ugh. Okay. But I got this crust over the top of my hand. It didn't look like a scab. It was a crust. And so, I go into super detail about all this stuff. But one day, I just kind of noticed the edge starting to come up. Well, boys can't leave a scab alone. Girls, they won't touch them until they fall off. But boys got to play with them, right? I started playing with it. And all of a sudden, it started coming up. Oh. And I peeled that baby off my hand. And my hand was beautifully perfect little baby skin. It was as sensitive as a baby. I could take my fingertips, and it was so sensitive, it was amazing. But I couldn't do this. That skin was so tight. And so I went and talked to the therapist, and he says, well, here's what you got to start doing. You just got to start moving it. You got to start pressing on it. You got to start stretching it. He says, eventually, it'll stretch, and you'll get your full function back. You can't even tell I was ever hurt. Oh, there's a few little places here and there that I know they're there, but if y'all looked at them, you'd go, huh, how about that? Miraculous. Healing is a miracle. It was amazing to see. You know, brethren, underneath that scab, something is occurring. The body is recreating very small blood vessels called capillaries. They're the smallest blood vessel that there is. They're so small that the blood cells have to line up one behind the other to go through them and just go right down the line. And it starts creating this beautiful matrix underneath your hand, enabling the good stuff to be deposited and the bad stuff to be taken away. Did you know in the medical world, blood is not a body fluid? I mean, you cut yourself and it just runs like crazy, but it's not considered a body fluid. It is considered a connective tissue. And the reason why is two things. It's got the collagen within it, but it also has vitamin K. Vitamin K is necessary for clotting of the blood. If you notice anybody that's ever been on Coumadin, they call it Coumadin therapy or warfarin therapy. It keeps your blood from clotting because it interferes with vitamin K. What's amazing is that you look in the Bible and God says a little boy is not supposed to be circumcised for 8 days after birth. Well, why? Over the years they've discovered, well, that's when the vitamin K starts developing within the little baby. So then they circumcise the little guy so that he can clot and so that he can heal. You don't want to do it before 8 days. You'd think God knew what he was doing, huh? It's amazing. It's amazing. I'd like you to go to Leviticus 17. There's a beautiful scripture here that identifies how special the blood is. Leviticus 17. Blood is very, very special to God. It's very, very special. It has a very incredible meaning in the mind, in the plan, in the way of God. Leviticus 17, starting in verse 10. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats the blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is in its blood. Whoever eats of it shall be cut off. Very, very serious situation there. Blood means a lot to God. Romans 5. Spiritually speaking, brethren, we have to have the special gift that God the Father has given to us, His precious Son. Starting in verse 8, Romans 5. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified. We've been acquitted from guilt. We've been made righteous in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Our healing requires that we be very directly involved in the supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ, in which the unleavened bread represents His broken body and the wine represents His shed blood. It is imperative that we partake in the baptism explained by God and that for our salvation we engage the Passover service in the complete activities that represent our annual renewal of our covenant with God. It is imperative that we continue to heal by preparing for this most precious and intimate feast of the Passover that is already scheduled by God. We've just concluded this wonderful festival season. We keep looking forward. Prepare for the feast of Passover. Prepare for it. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if you're already doing that. The fourth stage, remodeling. This stage overlaps stage three. While stage three is going on, so is stage four. It's called remodeling. Collagen continues to be laid down in a profound manner, very rapidly, abundantly. The scar is beginning to take shape. The primary characteristic of this stage of healing is the formation of the scar, the total formation of it. It begins in stage three. It concludes in stage four. The new skin is very vulnerable. When that scab comes off and you see that new skin, it's about 15% as strong as normal, healthy skin. And so over the next days and weeks and months, you start doing certain things to help that skin integrity return to as good as it was before the injury. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work. You've got to work that injury. You've got to work it. Be careful about it. It requires stretching of the whatever has been injured. You know, when people have a total shoulder replacement or a knee replacement, they've had everything in that joint damaged. It's just not a scar that you see on the outside of that shoulder or on the front of that knee. That's not all there is to it. Bones have been cut off and titanium has been put into place. And it's been disrupted. Very painful. And every part of that has to be worked on. Every part of it. What is so amazing is that I've seen people do something that I still marvel at it, is how they address a scar. What I've guided people to do, it's obviously their choice. Ladies don't like scars. Us guys don't care. But what you can do is you take vitamin E cream or vitamin E little capsules and you cut them and you let that vitamin E get on that scar and you start rubbing it into the scar. You start massaging it. You do that 4 to 5 times a day. In 6 to 9 months, that scar will be totally gone. It'll be removed. Brethren, when we are spiritually injured, we need to gently massage that scar. Gently massage that scar. And let somebody else that you trust deeply to massage that scar. Occasionally I go to a massage therapist. And I walk out of there feeling great. It's a physical thing, but it helps me relax profoundly. Years ago, I had a very good friend that was a logger down in southeast Texas near the place where I'd been baptized. And he was out by himself one day. He had no business being out by himself one day, and he was a very big, strong man. And he was using a chainsaw, and he lost his balance, and it kicked back and caught him in the face. He fell out of the tree, crawled to his truck, pulled himself up into the truck. He made it to a diner that was about 2 miles away, fell out into the parking lot, and they were sure that's where he was going to die. The people in the restaurant saw him bail out. They called 911 immediately. Within a few minutes, the ambulance was there. They grabbed him, got him there. His wife called the minister, went over there and anointed him. Head was all wrapped up, The doc said, I have no idea what you're going to look like when you take these bandages off. Hamburger is tough to sew. Well, when they finally let him take the bandages off for the rest, I mean, okay, we're going to take them off, we're going to leave them off. I mean, he had a profound scar. It's a wonder it didn't take his eye. But the doc told him, here's what I want you to do. Just rub your face. The natural oils off of your skin, just get that old scar and move that scars. In 2 years, when he looked at you straight without smiling, you'd never known he'd had an accident. But when he smiled, he had a great big dimple on that side because the muscles didn't heal perfectly. But it was amazing. His wife just couldn't believe it. Neither could he. That he healed so well. The stages 1, 2, 3, and 4, brethren, let all things be done decently and in order. One of Paul's gentle, loving admonishments to the Corinthian church. Let all things be done decently in order. Brethren, you can be healed. There is nothing that God cannot heal you from. But we've got to want it, right? Another very, very interesting thing as we come to a conclusion is the Son. One of the things we ask people to do that have been seriously injured is to get out in the sun and let it bathe your skin. It stimulates vitamin D. Vitamin D is another one of the healing vitamins. They're coming to realize that vitamin D really isn't a vitamin. It's a steroid. It's a natural steroid that the body develops under the presence of the sun. And what is incredible to me is they definitely give a lot of vitamin D to folks that have very, very weak bones. But now they're starting to overload it onto people that are suffering from Alzheimer's dementia. They give these little people as much as 3,000 to 5,000 international units a day. And they're noticing profound changes in the healing of a person's brain from Alzheimer's. It's not completely healing them, but it's helping them to restore a certain measure of an awareness of their lives. Brethren, here's some homework for you. Deeply study the 5th chapter of Ephesians. The entire chapter of Ephesians 5. You will see the incredible, miraculous stages of spiritual healing that God wants us to get into, to be involved in, so that we can be prepared and be made ready to meet His Son when He returns on that last trumpet and we become like He and His Father, perfectly whole, healthy. May God bless your healing.